Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a moment to stand up. You have to get your morning exercises. Amen. And we're grateful that you're here, and I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit and his anointing and purpose in this service and in this message. So we acknowledge God's great Holy Spirit and his grace to teach his word, and we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen and amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated, and we are going to look at our opening text. I actually have two of them. And, of course, this probably comprises at least two messages, but Isaiah 54, verses 13 and 14. And then, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And that's where we're very grateful right now in the dispensation we're in, because we all have the Holy Spirit to teach us, right?
Right.
And then it says, great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, I taught on that scripture last week that peace is something that Jesus gives us from the kingdom of God. And he said, great shall be the peace of thy children. So peace is something that is eternal. It's perfect. His peace is an attribute of God. It always has been. It always will be. It can't be improved on. It can't be changed. All we can do is improve understanding the gift that's been given and allow it to rule our heart and mind. And then it says that peace is perfect, and then the scripture also teaches that perfect peace will keep our hearts and minds. So I'm not going to go back over the teaching on peace. If you want to hear that, it is online, and it's a good teaching. So great shall be the peace of thy children. And then in righteousness shalt thou be established. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. There's no doubt we have I don't know why we didn't put the mic on, but I guess it's my fault for not... Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not going to let a mic change, hinder this teaching. So I'm not used to using this. And so I'm going to have to get used to using it, I guess, today. Okay, everybody say, in righteousness,
righteousness
shalt thou be established. Now, what I want to do is the Bible talks about, we're in the other text now. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Now, how far is that? Okay, no, we were delivered out of the world. Okay, we were delivered from the authority of darkness, and we were translated into, the kingdom of his dear son. So from being in the world and under the darkness of the world to being supernaturally translated, and sometimes we don't really understand what happened. And so it's difficult for us to exercise our faith when we don't realize that we had a supernatural translation from under darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, that's why we're far from the oppression that Satan has over the world system and over the minds of people and over the circumstances of people. We're far from that. Okay. Now, how far, what's the distance between the world system governed by Satan and God's kingdom that we were translated into? That's something that you need to think about. And that's what that means when it says far from. Okay. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now we'll get back into Isaiah 54. Let's go back to our main text of Isaiah 54, 13 and 14. Let's go back. Okay. There we go. I think I brought out about 6 points in this particular scripture. Number one, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Okay. You have a calling on your life to yield to the Holy Spirit and to learn from him. He will teach you. He will lead, teach, and guide you into all truth. All right. And then it says, great shall be the peace of thy children. And we talked about what righteousness does. It causes peace in our heart. Let's go on to the next portion here, please. Okay, in righteousness, okay, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, we're Isaiah 54, 14. Yeah, in righteousness thou shalt be established. Okay, so our purpose this morning with this teaching, look up at me right now, is the Holy Spirit is leading us to be established in righteousness. Say it with me. The purpose of this teaching is that the Holy Spirit is leading us to be established in righteousness. Let's say it again. The purpose of this teaching is that the Holy Spirit is leading us to be established in righteousness. Okay. You know, it can't get any more clear than that, that's the focus and purpose that God wants for us in this teaching. Okay. There is no question mark that the Holy Spirit wants to establish us in the righteousness that we already have. All right. And then it says, thou shalt be far from oppression.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Plenty of that. You know, one of the fruits of righteousness is that in your right standing with God, you learn that oppression is defeated, okay, and you can overcome that in your life. Because it's attacking you all the time, by the way. For thou shalt not fear. One of the biggest temptations in life is fear, right? All right. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Okay. Now, I want to talk about the word established, because it says you shall be what? Established. Say established.
Established.
All right. Now, I don't know about you, but when I learn something, when the result of bearing fruit in what I am learning is that I become established in the truth of that reality. All right. just to know something, just to hear something, just to think about something a little bit isn't going to necessarily mean that you will be a person that will be established in the reality of that truth. Okay. Now, as far as righteousness goes, it simply means right standing with God. Okay. Right standing with God. And that's what we're here for this morning, is to purpose in our hearts to be established in righteousness, in the gift of righteousness. Okay. I like what E.W. Kenyon says about it. He says, righteousness is the key to the Paul's epistles. It means the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of fear, condemnation, or inferiority. Okay, you have the ability, like we talked about last week, every wall between us and God is broken down. We have now been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and we can stand in the presence of God without condemnation. All right? That's the purpose of righteousness. And we all struggle with the idea of God's acceptance. We all struggle with that. Does God really accept me? Is God angry at me? Is God for me or against me? Okay. And the reality of it is that we can stand in the presence of God without guilt and condemnation, although there is a place for guilt in our life when we're guilty. So we're not trying to remove the idea that we should never be guilty. We're trying to remove the idea that condemnation at times makes us guilty for things that we've done in the past or we've never done. You know, that nagging guilt. You know, and sometimes we end up living a lot of our life in guilt that should have been overcome and has been forgiven, and there should be no condemnation there any longer. Okay. That doesn't mean when you sin that there isn't guilt there, and you should, that guilt always in our conscience brings us to a place, it should bring us to a place of repentance in our conscience. Okay. But there have been times I was guilty of things that I was forgiven of a long time ago and never did them again, and yet I still felt condemnation. I still felt at times that, well, I'm falling short of God's glory. I'm not measuring up. Well, you aren't going to measure up to righteousness. It's a gift. It's already measured up. It's already perfect. The gift in and of itself is God's righteousness, not ours. Okay. And we learn, you know, that there are two kinds of righteousness. One is the righteousness of God in Christ. One of them is Christ's righteousness, and one of them is human righteousness. Now, we know what the prophet says about human righteousness, don't we? It's as filthy rags. It says, the scripture says, our own righteousness is as filthy rags. It isn't going to impress God. It isn't going to get you into heaven. It isn't going to bear the fruit that God intended us to bear, the fruit of righteousness. And so we have to really be careful that we're standing not in our own righteousness, but in Christ's gift of righteousness, right? Can't improve on that. We can improve on our relationship in it and to it, in growing in our understanding of it, but as far as the righteousness as a gift, it is already perfect. It can't be improved on. We can only improve on our growing in faith in that area. Okay. So the ability to stand in the presence of God without condemnation, without guilt, without feeling inferior is a tremendous gift that we have been given in the cross, in Christ, all right? So we need to be established in that. Let's look at the word established, okay? I wrote that down. I wrote several things down about interpreting that particular word. To place your security, and I hope it was copied right, because sometimes I... To place your security and... It's not, but permanence. I'll just say being permanently in... Say permanently.
Permanent.
Okay. We're dealing with security, number one. Do I feel... Do I know I'm secure in Christ? Whether I feel like it or not, I'm secure in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. I'm secure in His righteousness. I'm secure in His acceptance. I'm accepted in Him. I'm secure in that I'm able now to overcome the past. Sometimes we live in the guilt and shame of the past that's already been forgiven and cleansed. To place your security and permanency in a position, in a place of unshakable faith in the gift of God's righteousness. Now, if that comes up, that's going to have a different word on it. Go back over the notes. So God is able to establish you in righteousness. Romans 6:25, I think there's a scripture there if we could look at that for a moment. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and I'll just stop right there. Okay, we're being established. Now another interpretation would be to place in Christ where your faith cannot be shaken, where the testing of your faith will only make you stronger.
Praise God.
Yes. And your faith is going to be tested. Do you believe you're righteous? Do you believe that Christ made you righteous?
Amen.
Okay. You have to believe it. You can't be passive on these things. You have to believe that you are righteous and you are established in that righteousness. And then another is to establish you securely and permanently in the reality of the righteousness that you already have. Now, personally, I don't like to be wishy-washy about things. I like to renew my mind to the point where I'm strong enough in faith to establish my heart and mind in the truth. Okay, did you hear what I said? I like to renew my mind to the point where I establish my heart and mind in the truth. Yes. Righteousness is a free gift that has been given that was never, ever intended to be neglected by the believer. Okay, we can't afford to be passive about these eternal riches You know what peace is? It's an eternal riches. It's eternal. It's an eternal. People are looking for temporal riches, and I'm not down on temporal riches. But who's going to be able to buy peace with money? Huh? Who's going to be able to buy Christ's righteousness with money? All right? And sometimes there's just an overemphasis on temporal riches versus eternal riches. And I'll take the eternal riches any day of the week. Okay. Money will not buy peace. That's one thing it will not buy. Money will not buy redemption in any way, shape, or form. We're not redeemed with silver and gold. So if you want to know why Jesus became poor, that we might be rich, mostly we're talking about eternal riches, not that the gospel doesn't involve our needs being met, but I'd rather have the eternal side of it myself, you know. So there's a gift that's been given. My responsibility and your responsibility is to renew our mind in this gift of right standing with God. And get it strongly rooted and established in our heart. Okay. Now, the Bible talks about being rooted and grounded. Say, rooted and grounded. We have to have deep roots. You know, the Bible talks about being rooted and grounded in love. Okay. Roots are something that can really be very, very strong. Okay. Think about being rooted in righteousness. Think about having grown in such faith that you're firmly rooted. That's what keeps the plant on top of the ground, on top of the ground. The plant has to grow deep roots. Okay. Okay. You need to renew your mind and allow deep roots to grow in your heart. That nobody can ever take that from you. Nobody can ever steal it. Nobody can ever change your mind about the reality of it. You're rooted. You're rooted. You're rooted in righteousness. Okay. Did I read that or didn't I read that about being deeply rooted? Did I? I think I read that. Okay. What Scripture says, deeply rooted, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him. There's certain things that, you know, I have planted in my heart, and it doesn't seem to matter what kind of attack comes to my life, you know, or my heart and mind, because Satan, the battlefield's in the mind. It has no effect on me. Why? Because I am so firmly and deeply rooted in the reality of the truth. And as I grow in that truth, it just gets more firmly established in my heart. And I just, the contradiction or the unbelief does not bother me. It's too late. Okay, it's too late. I've allowed it to take root, and I have allowed it to grow. And it has affected my faith in a very mature way in certain areas. Okay, where it just, this isn't going to be stolen no more, not because I'm a super saint, but because the Holy Spirit has taught me the reality of it, and it has grown to the point where I'm established in it. Whether my circumstances or whatever it looks like, it can't be stolen. Now, Satan can steal the word. Okay, the scripture says, you know, that it's the man that planted on stony ground, and it could be easily rooted out or taken. But when the person that plants on good ground and that and they continue renewing their mind in that reality, once you get to a certain point, the devil or anyone else will convince you otherwise because you know the truth. Right? Okay, and that's the same way with being established in righteousness or peace. You're established. It's there. I don't know if you're aware that righteousness is always there in your heart, whether you are aware of it or not. And when you're established in it, and it takes deep roots, you're always conscious of the fact that you are His righteousness. Okay, that's the ideal. That's the ideal. You're always conscious that peace is there if you allow it to keep your heart and your mind. Okay, so you're rooted and grounded. Let's look at Ephesians real quick. I think it's 3:17. There it is, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by what?
Faith.
By faith. Okay. Where's your faith? What are we putting it in? Righteousness, Christ is my righteousness. Okay. Jesus is made unto us wisdom, sanctification, redemption, and righteousness. Okay. Where is that to be dwelling? Where is His righteousness to be dwelling? It says dwell. The whole idea is that something lives there. Amen. It's not a casual thought that you think about every once in a while when you hear a scripture. It is something that is dwelling. It has taken up residence. It is on the inside of your heart where it was intended to be. All right? So then you're rooted and you're grounded in God's love. You know what? If you don't, it's tough, you know, when you don't really have love, you're going to be mad at people for what they've done to you. The only reason that I've ever survived and had the power in my heart to forgive is because I was rooted and grounded in God's love. Otherwise, the enemy is going to keep you a victim of what goes on in this world. Okay. It appears as though a lot of injustice goes on. Colossians 1:23, let's just look at that just for a moment. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, say grounded and settled.
Grounded and settled.
That's what you do when you plant a plant. It's settled in the ground. You go out there next time to water it or whatever and look at it, and there it is. It's grounded. It's there. We only had one time where I planted some stuff out here, and we had a strong wind from the west, and it uprooted one of the plants. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Okay. Grounded, rooted, established, righteousness has taken over your heart and is dominating your heart and your mind. Okay. It's evidence, you know, that it's a reality and it's there in you. Nobody can do that for you. You have to do that. You have to put your faith in Christ. He needs to dwell in your heart by faith. Say, Lord, thank you that you made me righteous in Jesus. All right. So the whole idea of being far from oppression, the world's full of oppression. It's trying to attack us constantly. Okay. And we can be righteousness. It's like the scripture says, they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign, say reign, in this life. Not the next, but this life.
Hallelujah.
Okay. It enables us to reign over the authorities of darkness. Or you're going to be their victim. You're either going to be a victor over them or you are going to be their a victim. You're going to be oppressed by them. Which one do you want? Okay. They that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I'm not sure exactly where that scripture is. It's a good one, though, boy. That's a powerful scripture. Say, gift of righteousness. Now, why would anybody not want to receive that? I mean, it's just insane, you know, to think that there are people that don't receive it or don't care about the gift of righteousness. I don't know of a greater riches than that gift that God could give us. Okay. So thou shalt be far from oppression. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. We had it, yeah. Okay. Delivered from Satan's dominion. We were delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're to be far from, God sees us far above and from oppression. The next one, for thou shalt not fear. And that's a big test that we have every day. We fight fear. So knowing that you are righteous is the grace and anointing to overcome the spirit of fear. Say, the spirit of fear is defeated. Now that doesn't mean it's not going to come against your mind or your body or your circumstances. It is going to come against you. But you have to know that you are righteous and you are not a victim of this anymore. It's defeated. You reign now over it. Okay. Yeah, that's Romans 5:17 is where that scripture is. They that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness What shall they do? They shall reign in life. What are you reigning over? You're reigning over oppression. You're reigning over fear. You're reigning. You're not reigning over people like the globalists want to play God. You're reigning over fear and oppression in this world, demonic oppression. Okay. Let's look at 1 John 4:18. Just real quick, let's look at a couple of these scriptures. Now let's look at that there is no fear in love. Okay. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Okay. Now we need to have the Holy Spirit make us perfect in Christ's love. Okay. But there's no fear in love. There's only victory and security in Christ. When we have the new creation reality that God loves us and he has made us his righteousness. I like that scripture. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Okay. I like that scripture too. We're not to go back into bondage. It's been defeated. And then Isaiah 43:1-3. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, thou had formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. Who owns you anyway, Satan or God? No. I give him ownership. I'm his. Okay, and then 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Okay, we have that spirit of power there, the spirit of righteousness to exercise his authority over the powers of darkness. And from terror. Now I'm gonna. This is the last point, and I'm gonna close on this. And I think next week I'll get into Isaiah 32:17, if the Holy Spirit leads. I wrote it out on a card. I just love these scriptures. They are so powerful. Okay, let's talk about terrorism. You know, terrorism is a religion. Did you know that? It's Satan's religion. And they're called terrorists. And there's different levels of terror in the world. Every country has different levels of terrorists working. To rob, kill, and destroy the harmony of people's lives. Psalm 34:7. Let's just look at a couple before we close here. Psalm 34:7. If we could, please. That's at the bottom of point six. Okay. Yeah, that's our scripture. Okay, this is what we're looking for. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them. Are we okay with that? Okay, that's the one we're looking for. That fear him and deliver them. Psalm 34:7. Boy, I could get into testimonies about how I've been saved by angels. I believe in them. I believe what the Bible says about angels, that we've come to a great innumerable company of angels. And they're all sent forth to minister for those who are what? Heirs of salvation. I've got more than nine lives. I have been saved over and over and over and over and over again from destruction by angels. And I never get into that part of it because nobody would believe it, but I have had angels appear to me and talk to me. I'll just leave it there because people don't believe that anymore. Psalm 32:7. Let's look at, Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. So we have a hiding place. And we are to sing songs of deliverance. And then Psalm 91:5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the what? Terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. There you have it. That's what righteousness does. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe in we better really seriously familiarize ourselves with Psalm 91. To me, that's my salvation. I'm not looking to man. I'm not looking to be controlled by their system. Do what you want. Stand up, please. Thank you for your undivided attention. Thank you, Jesus. We do have a prayer, an altar open for prayer here this morning, and we invite you to come up for prayer. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay. Salvation, faith in Jesus Christ on the cross brings salvation. So if you don't know him, you can confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Amen.